My name is Karen Yi. I am 44 years old. Today is August 31st, 2019, and I am speaking with Kevin Yi, who is my husband. We are recording this interview in Irvine, California. Want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Kevin Yi, and I am the husband of Karen Yi. And I'm excited to get started and have this interview and conversation with my wife.
Okay, so first off, when and where were you born?
So I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and that was back in April 29th, 1972. I grew up in Newton, Massachusetts, which is about 30 minutes just west of Boston.
What is your earliest memory of your childhood? What's the earliest memory of your childhood that you can remember?
I think the earliest memories go back to right around maybe 6 years old. I think the year before I started kindergarten is the earliest I can remember vividly of different things happening in my life. I don't know which one is the first. I definitely remember the blizzard of 1978, which would put me at 6 years old. Just snow that went above my head. I guess the other vivid memory I have is of my dad coming home drunk.
That's interesting. Do you think that you're an active kid compared to other kids? Do you like playing sports?
Yeah, I would probably say slightly. I would definitely say I'm active in that category. Played a lot of different sports. Always had lots of energy. I remember just having so much energy when I was a kid that I just couldn't stay still. And it was almost like painful when you have that much energy and you can't expend it. Especially growing up in Boston, there would be many days when it would be so cold outside or rainy, and you just, unless you want to go outside and just soak yourself in the rain, you would just be cooped up in the house. So yeah, I would definitely say I was active. I had played a lot of different sports, from tennis, basketball, skiing, baseball, some football, you name it, we played it, hockey.
Do you ever have any major injuries while playing the sports?
Lots of scrapes and bruises, falling down. I remember trying to do some kind of bike stunt when I was BMXing when I was 8 years old, and I fell off. And I just remember there was so much blood all over my knee, just covered. And I walked into the house, and my mom was screaming. She thought, because it just looked much worse than it was because it was bleeding so much. I've never broken a bone, though. So maybe drinking all that milk really helped.
So you said that you were born in Boston. When did you move to California?
I had never even been to California until I moved here. Or actually, no, that's not true. But I went to college in Northeastern in Boston. And then I was doing the on-campus recruiting over there with a company called the Gillette Company, which makes the razor blades, among other things, batteries and things. And did the on-campus recruiting and got invited to their second round of interviews, which was out in Santa Monica, California. So that was like a dream job for me. Just coming from Boston in the cold and winter, you dream of going to California. And being able to live there in your early 20s after college was a dream. So came out for the interview and was able to get the job and picked up and moved out to California when I was 23 years old. And it was like the scariest and most exciting time of my life was moving out to California all by myself. I didn't have any relatives out here and I didn't have any friends, but I did have a job and it was a good starting point for my next chapter, for this chapter of my life.
So when you were in California, did you, I'm assuming you did a lot, since you're active, you did a lot of activities as well, maybe going to the beach, playing volleyball.
Yeah. When I first moved out to California, I think I went to the beach every single weekend, almost every chance I got. And even if it was in the middle of winter in California, which is not too bad in February, it could be 50 degrees and I'd be sitting down at the beach and I'd be thinking, God, this is a dream come true. It's snowing back home. And, you know, most Californians, they put on a jacket when it hits February. They don't usually go out to the beach. Came out and, you know, got to do some of the nightlife, enjoy some of the nightlife. This was in Los Angeles. So I lived in West LA, Santa Monica, for a kid in his early 20s. It was a lot of fun and just made some new friends at work. Some of them were also transplants like me from Boston. Played tennis, reinvented myself when I came out to California. You know, I was more of an introverted, shy person, I would say. In Boston, I had my small group of friends, a handful of friends, and we only hung out with each other, and that's it. And that's very common in Boston. But coming out to California, I basically reinvented myself, pushed myself to be more extroverted, and, you know, it was great. I learned how to play the guitar, so did a lot of those cliche things.
Yes. So at that age myself, I felt like, well, I moved here from the Philippines at 23, and I felt like during those times after graduating college, earning money, you know, that's just your own, and spending it just on your own, I feel like that's the greatest time I had with my life. Like, those were the years where you just didn't worry about anything as long as you have money. I mean, do you feel the same way too?
Well, I think when you're young, and what I mean by young, like in your 20s, even early 20s, you can still have so much fun without having money.
That's true.
And, you know, even though I had a job, I basically was living paycheck to paycheck. It wasn't enough to save a whole lot, especially if you want to enjoy going out to eat and going out for drinks with friends and doing a vacation here or there, let's say heading to San Diego or whether it be Las Vegas or Santa Barbara. And it was cool. You know, you could be driving around in a beat up Honda, mm-hmm. and as long as you had nice clothes and you could still have a lot of fun. Whereas I always feel like when you get older, it's not as cool when you're in your 40s or 50s and you're flat broke. Whereas in your 20s, you can see it when you turn on the TV. A lot of these kids, they're broke and it's cool. They're like, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Do you think that around that time, the people that you hang out with, did you guys talk about what you wanted out of life? Was that some things that you talk about, or was it just mostly fun things that you talked about?
It was a mixture. It all depend on the day, mm-hmm. and it depend on the friends that you were hanging out with on a certain day. There was, you know, some people are more deep in their thinking. And with people like that, I've definitely had some of those friends where you would talk about, you know, what is it that you really really want in life, right? Something like that. What is it that truly makes you happy? A lot of times you're talking about career. Sometimes I would probably say 50% of the time it's small talk. What are you going to do this weekend? How was your weekend? And then, you know, complaining about like how much work you got and things like that.
Did you miss your family? Since you've been so far away, what do you think of being away from them for that long of a period?
Yeah, I think when I first moved out to California, I was definitely lonely. Like I said, I didn't have any friends or family out in California, so it was tough from that perspective. I definitely miss them. But it was a chance for me to reinvent myself. And the funny thing about it is that it kind of brought us a little bit closer. Sometimes that distance makes you appreciate them more, whereas when you see them every day or live with them, you know, you just get on each other's nerves and that's all you see. Whereas with my mom and with my brother, I don't think we're that close. When I lived in the same house, we were always fighting. But then when I moved out to California, we would have conversations. I would call them once a week and we would actually talk about stuff that we had never talked about before, just because it was like more valuable that time that we spoke to each other once a week. It was like quality conversations, as opposed to when we lived together, it was like, oh, got to go eat, go do this. What chores do you have? Things like that.
Do you feel that at that time in your life, you had a clear idea of where you were heading? Because I'm sure that you had at least dreams of what you would like to be and how you see yourself in the future. During that time, in your 20s, after college, you're living in California, you have all these friends, and you reinvented yourself. You're now, you know, had made yourself into a much more social person. You probably have a good job. Did you think that, hey, I think I'm heading towards the right direction?
I definitely thought I was heading in the right direction. But in terms of me in my 20s, I definitely didn't have a vision of where I wanted to go. I wasn't really career oriented at that point in time. I was just happy with the job that I had. And, you know, I thought I had basically arrived when I was 23 years old, being in California, a young kid, you know, making $36,000. I thought I was rich, even though I didn't have any savings. I was actually broke. But all of my 20s, all I wanted to do was have fun, like a lot of different kids. But I tried to balance it between having a good job and keep just doing the right thing with my career, even though I didn't have any vision of which way I wanted to go. I thought that it was all about just enjoying life. That's all it was at that point in time. But then in my 30s, I think that changed. I started to realize, you know, there's a career. You can get enjoyment out of your career. And then I think it's just strengthened along the years. Now being in my late 40s, you know, career definitely takes up a big chunk of my mind and the priorities in my life. Whereas in my 20s, I'll probably say it's like the last thing that I was thinking about.
Okay. So let's talk about love and relationship. Why don't you walk me through the time that we met together? What were you thinking? What were your thoughts back then when you first met me? What did you think of me?
So we met when I was, I think, 25 or 26. 26. Young, stupid kid. No idea. I had went out for drinks with a guy named Ryan, who worked with me over at the Gillette company. And he was new to California, so he was like me. He had first arrived in California. He was finding his way. And you know, I've always been the type of person that tried to make newcomers feel comfortable, because I had been through it and I know how tough it can be. So I wanted to be that person that they remember as helping get them on their feet and being a friendly face and a person to talk to. So, you know, we hung out a lot. He liked to drink. excessively.
Yeah, that and, is Ryan.
And we decided to go to Manhattan Beach. So we went to Manhattan Beach, and we said, why don't we go grab a couple of drinks at a dive bar and then head over to this club afterwards. I think the club that we wanted to go to eventually was called H2O in Manhattan Beach, which is closed now. But we first went to this dive bar, which is called Sunsets. And it's kind of funny to think about having a dive bar in Manhattan Beach, because Manhattan Beach is a very expensive area. Now you won't find dive bars over there. But went over there, and they have like these pool tables. I think it's two pool tables in one section of the bar where you put a quarter down, and that's your place in line. So it has a little place on the side of the table with slots that has numbers on it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you put it in there, and you're next in line to play the winner of the previous game. And me and Ryan walked up to the table. I put down the quarter. Ryan went to the restroom. And then I was just standing there, had a beer in my hand, and just taking in the scene. And I was just kind of content. At that point, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good time tonight. And then I remember there was two girls that were sitting in chairs at the side of the pool table. And one of them was you. And the other one was your cousin. And I was thinking, oh, that girl looks pretty over there. And I remember the game had finished. There was already two people playing pool, and it finished up. And the person who was playing, who won, he said, who's next? And I think I said, oh, I think that's me. I have the quarter down. And it turned out his name is Pete. I can't remember asking him for his name, but his name was Pete.
And, yeah, I remember he was Cuban.
And I said, me. And then I think you had spoken up. I'm like, no, I think that's our turn. So I think you're like, that guy's trying to cut us off. So then Pete said, well, why don't we just do teams of two and we'll split up. And Pete had asked me, he goes, oh, who do you want to partner up with? You pick one of the girls, I'll pick one of the girls, he said. And I said, I'll pick, what's your name? I said.
And I said, Karen.
Karen. And then I said, Karen, do you want to play with me? And yeah, then so that's how we met.
Exactly. And so I remember it vividly. I did see you, and I thought that you were attractive. When you found out, I know at that night we had conversations. I told you that I was just visiting from the Philippines. When I told you that, what was the thought in your head? Did you even think that, oh, okay, this girl is going to go back to the Philippines, so, you know, I'm just going to hang out with her tonight and just have fun?
No, I mean, when you first, in that setting, when you're at a bar, you're not thinking of finding the love of your life anyways. You're just thinking about having a good time, first of all.
Yes.
And then if you meet someone, you know, hopefully you'll get to know them. So when you told me you were from the Philippines, I think in Boston, you know, I was thinking, how many Filipinos do I know in Boston? I think I've only met one in all of my years in college. There was one girl who sat right in front of me, but she never talked to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd always liked the way that Filipino girls looked, I think they have a unique beauty, which is, you know, kind of a little bit Spanish and a little bit Chinese, which I thought was really cool. And coming out to California, it was kind of new to me. I thought it was cool. I said, oh, wow, she's Filipino. That's awesome.
So I'm just going to fast forward. You know, we did date for 6 months. I thought that we had the great 6 months dating. We did a lot of things. You took me to so many places that, you know, I've never been. And you've opened up my eyes on experiences that I didn't even think that I was going to do. I remember vividly you took me to San Diego and we did the jet ski. And I think that was the first time that I've ever seen a jet ski, let alone ride it. And you introduced me to, you know, trying out new dishes. Growing up in the Philippines, I'm only used to Filipino food. And I had a great time, like, dating you. You really knew how to show me a good time. I felt really connected with you. So when you moved to Boston 6 months later, I was really sad. And I was hoping that, you know, we would go through and
You hit it very well. You didn't show me how sad you were.
I was sad. I was
you
also
didn't show it.
I'm also a very logical person, so I think that, you know, I knew that if we were meant to be, I'm sort of like a romantic. I knew that if we were meant to be, that eventually we would really, we'd still be together, right? And that's what happened, right? You know, we got engaged and got married in a span of, what, not even a year.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I never had a thought, looking back, at least from my memories of my childhood. I mean, I didn't even think of how I'm going to meet my husband. I mean, we live so far away. I'm from the Philippines. You're from Boston. Couldn't be any more further than that. And it's fate. And I believe in fate. And it's awesome that I get to experience that. So when we got married, yes, we were naive. Did I think back then that I was too young? I didn't even hesitate. But looking back now, I felt like it was too soon. And getting married at 23, I wish I actually had waited a little bit more.
Did you think it was a long shot for us to end up staying together when I moved to Boston?
Actually, no. I didn't think of that. I never thought that, hey,
this is it.
Yeah, that, hey, this is it, that we're going to be, like, this is the end of us. I never thought that. I always thought that I'm going to move forward with this and let's just see how it's going to play.
Mm.
And that's it. I never had any negative thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, maybe you're right, right? When you think back, you say, hey, what are the chances of two people having a long-distance relationship? But that's past is past, and, you know, here we are, you know? And we moved back to California. I mean, we moved to Boston for your job. I moved there with you.
Mm-hmm. I went to Boston after we were dating for 6 months, and that was for the job. So Gillette had moved me back to Boston, which is where their headquarters was. I had been in California for 3.5 years, which is very customary. And you had stayed in California. And I forget if you were going back to the Philippines, too, for a little bit.
Yeah, I was here to look for a job. I just graduated from college. I was here for my sister's wedding. And I wanted to try and see if I could get a job since my sisters are already here. I was having a hard time finding at that
time.
Were
you finished with school already too?
Yeah, I did. I was finished with school. My tourist visa was for 6 months. When I met you, it was first half of that 6 months. So I only had 3 months left.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to extend that like into another 6 months, and part of it, obviously, is, hey, let me see if I can get a job in another 6 months. And part of it, obviously, is because I met you and, you know, I wanted to stay. Mm-hmm. But I did. I was really hoping that I could find a job. I was really hoping that, you know, I could find a job and maybe, you know, move to Boston with you but not get married. But then it didn't turn out that way.
Why? So how did it go? How did you end up in Boston? How did you end up moving?
You know this story, right?
No, I want to hear it.
I went to visit you for the first time, and you were showing me around Boston, all these nice places. I get to meet your parents, your family.
Did you think
Honestly,
anything of it when I invited you to Boston
no,
to
I
fly
did
you
not
out to
think anything
Boston?
of it. I think it was just you know, we were dating together, so you wanted me to come and see you. We haven't seen each other in a while. I think it's,
3 months or so.
yeah, 3 months or so. So it was just natural for me to come and visit.
What'd you think of Boston when before you went and then when you got there?
Honestly, I had no idea what it would look like.
There was
It was
no
just, yeah, I think during that
movies
time
or anything that you had seen.
there's no internet where you can look at images and all that stuff. So I just didn't have any clue. I just remember you picking me up from the airport.
You knew it was cold over there, right?
Yes, I did. I do remember seeing the leaves for the first time. I think I went during the fall, so it was really, really beautiful.
Oh, yeah. October, I think you came.
Yes. I think the greatest thing for me, though, was that I was very surprised, but it was really close to the water. I mean, it was close to the ocean, and there was a lot of body of water. I am such a water person. Like, I like being around water, the sea. So I like that a lot. I thought it was beautiful. And then your parents, that was the biggest thing that for me, of visiting you, is to finally meet your parents. And I don't know why, for some reason, when you told me that your parents were Chinese, that I thought they were like American born. I mean, I didn't realize that they were also migrants from China. And so it kind of like it caught me by surprise. So that I thought that was interesting. I love how how your mom is a character. I mean, she loves you very much. So it was very obvious from the first time I met her. So I was ecstatic to have met your parents. And when you proposed to me during that time, I wasn't like shock. It was definitely a surprise. I didn't know you were gonna do that. I didn't hesitate at all to say yes, because I've always been a logical person, thinking forward. It was really the, even though it was early, it was really the right way or the right time at the same token. So.
What goes through your mind when you get proposed to? I mean, are you thinking logically or is it all emotional?
It was all emotional.
So, I mean, there's never a logic in there. He's like, "Whoa, we
I
gotta
mean, I think
really think this through."
in the first 30 minutes, you're just on a high of like, hey, this person, this is it. This person really just proposed to me. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with this person. And then maybe like after an hour or so and thinking more about it, like that night, it's like you kind of like play this like scene in your head. So from here on, what's going to happen? And then I start imagining, oh, I'm going to have to move to Boston. I'm going to have to find a job. We're going to have to find a place to stay together, and so on and so
And
forth.
also, how we were together from the point that we met was in February to the point when I proposed was October. So, how many months is that? Eight?
Yeah,
Nine
8 months.
months?
Yes.
8 or 9 months.
Yes.
And how well did we really know each other, thinking back,
Yeah.
compared to how well we know each other after 20 years of marriage? It's
True.
kind of scary that we
Yeah.
made a decision like that.
Yes.
It was kind of scary.
Yeah, it was. It was very scary. So, I what is I mean, think now thinking back again, our decision to not have kids for the next 5 years and to move back to California. How did you feel about those things? Those are two major steps that had happened after we got married, was to move back to California a year later. What were your thoughts on that and about deciding not to have any kids for in the next 5 years?
You know, we're Generation Xers, and different than the baby boomers. Baby boomer generation was more about you go to school, get your grades, get a job, especially in Boston. They live a very straight, conservative life. There's a path that you lead and you don't stray from it. You go get a job, you get married, and then you have kids in your middle 20s, and that's how you live, and that's all you do. But for the Gen X's, we were a little bit more hedonistic, and we were more about just, you know, kind of enjoying life. So I think that was actually the trend, where a lot of people were just having, just waiting and spending 5 years before they had kids to enjoy doing things mm-hmm. while they're young. So, you know, I think that was by design. I wouldn't have changed it.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't have changed it. Although occasionally I would say to myself, hey, I wish that I had had the baby when I was 23, you know, instead of 28. Just because if I was younger when I had the kids, then that would mean that I would be younger for them to be grown up and for me to start enjoying, you know, ourselves.
Right.
So then now, fast forward, Trent, our older son, is 16. Bryce is 12. And looking back, the times that we had them, we raised them, did you ever feel that you were doing the right thing in your head?
Going back to California, you mean?
No, meaning raising our children. Raising our children.
Were we doing the right thing by raising the way we raise our kids?
Yes. Are we doing the right thing?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I don't think you could ever be perfect raising your kids, but I think that we've done a very good job raising our kids. And I think they've come out great. I think they're not there yet. We got a lot more work to do, but I think we've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I think that we did a good job in our own capacity. But it's so interesting because sometimes, though, when I see other kids, I feel like, hey, these kids are doing much better than our kids. But I know in my head that I'm just thinking of it that way. You know, you want your kids to be the best. You want them to be... I think for me, really, I just want them to be independent. I feel like, you know, the faster I teach them to become independent, the more I could be at peace with myself, that if anything ever happens to me, then they'll be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
So, you know, we were talking about marriage and how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you first get married, you know, they talk about like, oh, I want to grow old together. And it sounds so romantic. Let's get gray together. Let's just get old and wrinkly. And it's kind of fun when you say it when you're in your 20s. Now that we're getting older, do you think it's as romantic? What's your thought about getting older together now?
Oh, God. Yeah, I've thought about this countless of times. First of all, I didn't realize that aging is going to... I always thought that it's just going to slowly come and it's just going to slowly creep up on you, but it's not. I mean, I think it's very obvious. Like all of a sudden you have memory loss. All of a sudden you're gaining weight when you shouldn't. All of a sudden you're... You know, you've got all these aches and pains in your body. So, going back to your question, yes, you think it's romantic growing all together, in a different sense. But like physically, I don't think it's romantic.
What scares you most about getting old?
I think, besides the fact that, you know, as a woman, you know, my beauty is fading. Yeah, that's like...
No.
That's vanity. I think my greatest fear of getting old is losing my memory. Or losing my memory, getting sick. And thinking of that someday I might not even be in my senses. Like, I won't be able to think clearly. That scares me.
Mm.
How about you?
Mm-hmm. I think physically, you know, we talked about me being a very active person. I think I'm worried that I will get extremely depressed once I become immobile, you know, where I'm a person that just will sit there and have too many aches where I won't want to do anything. I won't want to ski. I know eventually that's going to happen, and it's inevitable. I'm not going to be a 75-year-old guy skiing because recovering from an injury is impossible. That's the stuff that kills you. So losing a lot of the things that I enjoy doing physically worries me from a mental standpoint that I won't take to it. I won't be able to adapt mentally and still be happy. That's one of the things that worries me. I know that my memory isn't so great as it is right now, and I worry that it's just going to get worse later on too.
Yeah, I think that, and then the physical capacity of, I just don't know, like thinking about not being able to walk, not being able to feed myself, or God forbid, incontinence where you can't even wait until you go to the bathroom. Those things scare me. And sometimes I think to myself, everybody goes through it, so we're just going to have to wait and experience it. But then at the same token, I feel like since both of you and me are going to get old, who's going to take care of us?
Yeah.
I don't want to put that burden on our children.
Let me ask another question. Do you think that, I guess this is aging and then retirement, do you think that men and women handle retirement differently? And do you think one sex is better suited for aging and retirement? And why?
I do think that, yes, I mean, aging and retirement. So let's discuss aging. I do think that male, and I say this because of my experience with my dad and your dad, I feel that they have a harder time accepting the fact that they're failing, you know, mm-hmm. physically and all that. Mm-hmm. You've heard of stories, you know, that people don't like to be helped. I mean, I think that's a man thing. I do clearly see it in my dad whenever I try to carry heavy stuff for him and he protests and says, no, let me do it for you. And I can, I know that he can't do it anymore. Yeah. So let's say, for example, I carry a case of water out of the back of the car when I did shopping. He would insist that he could still do it. And I know he can't. I mean, I pick, you know, my own battle. I, you know, tell him, I let him do stuff, you know, just because, and just let him handle it because I think it's important. So for men, it is harder for aging. For retirement,
Just one other point on that too is men typically have more injuries throughout their life because they've been living a more rigorous physical life on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's generalizing, but I would say that men have more injuries and more aches when they get older too. So, and my dad and your dad also are examples of that, where when you compare that, especially for your mom, doesn't look like she has a lot of those aches and pains because she hasn't led that kind of life. So that's another factor. I would agree with you on the men take it a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to retirement, I think that you guys are more prepared for that. You do definitely put a lot of time and effort into thing, you know, looking at like finances, what you want to do after, you know, where you want to live. Like we talk about this, we want to live right by the beach and, you know, maybe get a dog and walk around. In the meantime, I think the difference between men and women, though, is men are very practical in that kind of thinking with retirement, whereas with women, it's more, I'm thinking of, okay, I'm going to retire. I want to be close to my kids. I always think that way. I know my kids are going to grow up. They're going to get their own houses and all that. When I say, where do I want to live? I know in the beginning we said we're going to live by the beach, but now I'm thinking, do I really want to go live by the beach or do I want to be close to my children? So now I'm like half and half.
I want to live by the beach near my kids.
Yeah, but maybe that's not reality. So what are we going to do?
Now, but finishing that point, I actually think that women handle retirement and aging better than men. And the reason I say that is men live their whole life career-oriented, and not to say that women aren't career-oriented, but men are derive their meaning in their mm-hmm. life from their jobs and who they mm-hmm. are and the power and, mm-hmm. you know, the respect that they've gained through their jobs and everything mm-hmm. that they've dedicated their lives to. When they retire, they lose a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad, my dad, perfect examples of that. They are workers,
mm-hmm.
and that's what their primary goal in life was, to be providers, and now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their goal in life.
Sure.
They take it away after they retire. That's not take it away, but that's not their goal in life. So now, spending your whole life doing that,
mm-hmm.
what is the purpose of my life? What is the meaning of me? I don't work at that point. My wife doesn't work. What am I supposed to do? And I think guys, while we're social, like women, it's a different kind of social. We don't, at least for me, I don't really pick up the phone and chat with my brothers and sisters like you do. And I feel like that's a little bit of a guy thing too, is we'll hang out, but we don't socialize in the same way
mm-hmm.
as women. So if you take away all the sports and all that other stuff, what am I going to do when I retire?
Yes.
If I don't enjoy talking on
Correct.
The phone and,
mm-hmm.
and doing all that other stuff.
So yeah.
I think women are better equipped for retirement.
You're right. But go to what you mentioned about what is our purpose in life. I do think that looking forward into when you retire and saying, what am I going to do with my life? It is kind of depressing that maybe, you know, you don't have strength anymore to do that. But then I think that you and me should look backwards and say, hey, what did we accomplish with our lives? I feel that my greatest accomplishment is raising our two children. If they're good in life, if they become successful, they become happy, they find the right partner, and hopefully have their own kids, I would feel really happy if they follow our path. And if that happens, I feel that, okay, getting old is no longer scary.
Mm.
That mm-hmm. I can grow old and I can, you know, say I'll pass away happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's it. That's my fulfillment, is seeing our kids be in a good position. And maybe just like us, you know, they'll follow our path. That's what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
What I think about thinking in the past?
No, I'm thinking, what do you think? What do you think is acceptable for you when you pass away? What's your accomplishment? When you feel like you've accomplished something and that it's okay to die?
I don't think I've ever thought of it that way. I guess definitely raising two kids is a major thing. Did I raise two good human beings? Was I successful in my career? Did I get to see and see a lot of things in the world and experience a lot of things in the world? That really is what it comes down to for me before I die.
One last final question. Would you prefer me to pass away before you, or would you prefer to pass away first before me?
I'd prefer we die the same minute and we timed it and we did a countdown.
Yeah, that would be great if that would have happened.
Yeah.
But I know it's not going to happen.
I don't think I want you to live like 20 years beyond me like your grandmother.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to live 20 years beyond you as well.
Exactly.
I think around the same time.
Yeah, we should leave it up to fate.
Yep.
I love you.
Love you too.